Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Thursday afternoon, April 17th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. Financial responsibility can be a valuable trait, but there may be a point of less return. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, more adult children are living at home longer, and it can be a financial drain on their parents. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home with strategies to help them launch independently and start making it on their own is Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return in Life. Sherry, thank you for joining us today. And what is the most common scenario for an adult child to live at home for an extended period of time? Because I am not without sin, Sherry. I cannot cast the first stone, because when I moved back to Chicago to work in radio here, I lived at my parents' house for a couple of months while I saved up for rent on my own place, but I was gone by the following April. Is that a common scenario?
You know, Rob, I kind of call the listeners, your home is Hotel California. They check out, but they never really leave, because things happen. Big breakups with a fiance, they come move back home. They lose a job, they move back home. They graduate college, they might not have a job or have savings, they live at home. So I'm seeing it with my clients, I'm seeing it more and more, and you are right. You know, supporting not only you and your spouse or yourself and a child can jeopardize your retirement in the long run, but there's a bunch of strategies that I've worked with my clients to really help smooth this transition from living at home to living on their own.
Now, you do have some situations in which, especially now, we talk about the elevated costs of housing. Mortgages are expensive. They could be hard to come by. And rents are higher than they used to be. And that could be a reason why someone would live at home. But there's a difference between living at home and then being supported by mom and dad. You can live at home and have a job and pay your own expenses.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you're going out, you should pay those expenses for your travel, for clothes. But, you know, one thing I've seen some of my clients do is, first of all, open communication and set some kind of timeline, whether it's 6 months or a year, maybe even 18 months, depending on the situation. But some parents do charge their children nominal rent, and they save that money so that when the child or young adult does move out, there's a little nest egg there, maybe 6 months worth of expenses. Maybe you can help them fund a Roth IRA, which we've talked about before as a great savings vehicle. But, you know, and by charging them some rent, they get used to having to take their paycheck and pay rent. So I don't think that's such a bad idea, especially if you're going to give them back that money when they move out.
And then very quickly, and maybe this could be above and be, this is a conversation that maybe could require somebody, the services of someone other than a financial advisor. But what if we're talking about an adult kid who is living at home and is not working?
Yeah, I mean, there needs to be communication, and maybe they can't have their dream job, or they're looking for a specific type of job, but there's a lot of jobs out there, you know, whether, you know, you're working at a coffee shop or working at a restaurant or working retail, you know, just, you know, having your days filled, even if it's part-time while you look for a job. I think that's something that would be a great thing for those young adults living at home that are not working.
Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rappaport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago, author of the book Maximize Your Return on Life. Thank you for joining us today.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Being smart with your money is a virtue, but being too frugal can come at a cost. We welcome in Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, author of the book The Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And it's one thing to talk about money, the dollars and cents of financial planning and saving. It's one other thing to talk about the psychology of money. And this is certainly a topic that governs the psychology of money. And I'm guessing, Chris, that psychology begins with how do you mentally take the turn from saving to spending once you have decided to retire?
Great question. You know, there are so many different varieties of folk out there, right? The spectrum is very long and very wide. So I have clients that are afraid to spend. And when they approach me, they're afraid to spend. But when I get through with them, they know exactly what they can spend or what they should save. Then there's folks at the other end of the spectrum who approach me, who have been spending with wild abandon. I have one client who was knocking down serious money. I mean, serious, serious money. But they were spending it all. And in mid-50s, if you're spending it all, you know, when will you be able to retire? So it just really depends how you're hardwired and what you know. I look at it this way. If you really look at a circle or a piece of pie, cut out a slice of it. That small slice represents everything that you and I know, Rob. If you make a slightly larger slice, it represents everything that you and I know that we do not know. Like, I do not know how to fly an airplane. The rest of the pie is everything that you and I don't even know that we don't even know. That's where the breakthrough happens. So depending upon how you're hardwired, when you come to my practice, we look at everything in your life that has a dollar sign connected to it, the good, the bad, the ugly, and we see what's possible based on what you want to do with your life. So you have to find a fiduciary who could really give you honest feedback and look at all of the pieces that you have. It'll help you to decide if when you go into the grocery store and you're afraid to buy grapes because they're not on sale, or if you go to Neiman's and you shop till you drop, it helps to inform those choices, whether you're on welfare or faring quite well. Does that make some sense?
It makes perfect sense. And the pie that represents what I don't know is the size of a small planet, but it's growing by the day. what I was going to say, though, is that I think the lesson that a lot of people learn, unfortunately, too late when it comes to being very cautious about spending on experiences when they are physically able to do so, is that they will arrive at a point where they can't. And then they will say to themselves, I wish I did.
Well, of course. And that's why taking a look at what's possible for you now based on who you are and what you're trying to accomplish helps to inform all that. It actually takes the fear away when you know you can take that vacation or you can buy that new dress or whatever it is you want to do. It's all about really getting clarity.
Chris Everett, fiduciary financial planner and president of Everett Wealth Solutions in Forest Park, the author of the book, A Prescription for a Healthy Retirement. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next on this Technology Thursday, the pros and cons of the connected home.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Smart homes offer convenience, but every connected device adds risk, from hacking threats to hidden financial and privacy costs. Let's welcome in Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And if there is ever one overarching theme from our visits on the Noon Business Hour, it's that if it's connected to the internet, someone will use it to find a way in.
Absolutely. Yeah, and we've been trying to scare people into that for years. These Internet of Things devices were originally developed back in the 1940s to help manufacturing companies, and they've not changed since the 1940s. The security is the same, the operating systems are the same, and they are every bit as risky as they were back then.
But it's grown even more complex, the amount of connected devices that you have that are simply connected in the name of convenience. I mean, if you have a refrigerator freezer that's connected to the internet so it can tell you via an app how much ice your ice maker is making, or whether or not you left the door open, or how many times you open the door on a daily basis, the convenience of that, if you want to call it convenience, Jerry, is outweighed by the potential threat for a bad actor to get into the rest of your network at home.
Absolutely. The problem is these devices are shipped out with default passwords that generally, in most cases, are admin for the user and password for the user ID. And unfortunately, the average person doesn't go in and update those. So that's the easiest thing to do. And actually, even if it's not that, you can just do a search on the internet and say, what is the default password for webcams? What's the default password for smart TVs, smart refrigerators? And it will tell you by manufacturer and everything. So you can get the default user and password easily. But the other problem is the firmware. Some of these devices are sitting on a shelf for a year or even longer before you get them. So when they were originally built, they had an old operating system that was installed on them that has not been updated. And in many cases, they will not update automatically. You have to get into them and then tell them to update the system. Well, these operating systems have vulnerabilities on them that make it easy for a hacker to get into. And everybody tells me, well, nobody's going to try to get into my house. I've got nothing. You're right. Nobody will specifically target you in most cases, right? However, they will do what's called war dialing, and they'll simply go out there and use an application to search everything that they can find on the internet, and anything that has a vulnerability, it will automatically go out and update. That's another benefit of AI today. Hackers are using AI to scan devices to find vulnerabilities and to automatically attack them, so they can get into your home, find your information, get onto your PC, and go from there.
Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions, member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead on this Technology Thursday, Instagram is testing a new feed designed to compete with Facebook, TikTok, and other platforms.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The markets are mixed right now. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist with B. Riley Financial in New York. Art, thank you for joining us today. Yesterday, it was NVIDIA that was spooking the markets, and today it's United Healthcare. What is so unique about this latest quarterly report from UHC?
Well, I tell you, the United Health actually rarely misses. And what happened was there were some changes in Medicare reimbursements that were back-end loaded, that came out of the Biden administration. I think that adversely affecting payers up front. I think the CEO did a great job on the conference call describing the short-term nature of that and how things will work through in the next couple of quarters. UNH rarely misses. This is the biggest one-day drop they've had going back to 2008 when they had a 10% drop. So it shocks people when a company that always seems to outperform underperforms on any given day. But the good news, Rob, is that we're actually paying attention to stock-by-stock news. NVIDIA yesterday, as you highlighted, UNH today, and also Lilly today, which is up 11%. On some good results out of their weight loss pill. So I think that the fact that we can separate the macro from the micro every once in a while, especially during earnings season, is probably a positive when everything seems to be about trade policy and tariffs.
All right, Art. Let me harsh your mellow then, and let's talk about the macro policy here. And that is, we do have a little spat now between the chairman of the Federal Reserve and the president of the United States, President Trump, hinting that Jerome Powell should be fired, should lose his job because he is. He said yesterday that he's going to watch the numbers when it comes to plotting interest rate policy. It's just a more uncertainty that investors are dealing with.
Yeah, well, I would tell you this. I think it's no small coincidence that Chair Powell was in Chicago and he quoted Ferris Bueller, a great Chicagoan, he said.
He knew his audience.
He knew his audience, right? But I think if you remember in that movie, Ben Stein did a bit on tariffs, and he was not positive about it in the classroom. So I don't know if that's what you'd call a subtweet, but it certainly feels like that was a message delivered. The president also cited the fact that the ECB just cut rates the day before. Well, the ECB is in a completely different place. They're concerned about slowing economic growth. They're not concerned about the inflationary impact of a massive trade war. So I think that that's the difference here. I think that Chair Powell did a pretty good job of saying that president can't remove him. Unless he can find some cause, and not liking his monetary policy is not a cause. So I think that the White House released a statement earlier this morning that said he was just voicing his frustration and has no plans on replacing him before he's out in May of 26.
Well, you have an administration that moves at the speed of social media, and the speed of social media is like a very large boulder rolling downhill. It just gets faster and faster, going up against institutions that cannot. And in a world of tweets and subtweets and clapback videos, a history lesson involving Arthur Burns buckling under to political pressure to leaving interest rates lower in 1972 to benefit Richard Nixon. That decision followed him for the rest of his career and the rest of his life. And even now, I guess people see, when they see Arthur Burns' picture as the chairman of the Fed at the Federal Reserve Bank, they say that's the guy who let inflation get out of control in the 70s. So buckling under to political pressure does not make for good monetary policy.
It certainly doesn't. And I think that Chair Powell is a historian of the Fed and has brought this up in the past. Mistakes are made when you buckle under to administrative pressure. And the reason for that is I think administrations are thinking politically. What would be good for me politically versus an independent Federal Reserve Board that is thinking, what is the best thing to get close to both of our mandates, full employment and steady prices? And that is exactly what the Fed is trying to do here. So there's a reason that they were created by Congress during the Great Depression, and they were created to be independent for that exact reason. And you brought up the perfect example of what happens when you don't.
Art Hogan, Chief Market Strategist, B. Riley Financial in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, Instagram rolls out a new feature as it steps up its game against major social media rivals.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday. Instagram is testing Blend, an AI-curated Reels feed shared between friends as it steps up its competition with Facebook, TikTok, and other social media rivals. Helping us break it down is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder, editor-in-chief of Techish.com based in San Francisco. Jennifer, thank you for joining us today. And what is the end game here for Instagram? Are they trying to find a way to get a leg up on other endless scrolling apps like TikTok?
All right, let's be completely honest. The company says that, look, it's a way to help you learn more about your friends, engage more with your friends. But I've been trying it out for about a week now. It is a way to suck you in and get you to spend more time on Reels. The more time you spend on Reels and Instagram, the more money Meta makes. That's the bottom line.
Now, when it comes to there has been a great deal of criticism leveled at TikTok and now Instagram and other applications that just allow you to just stare at videos endlessly about how the algorithm is bad for you. It's bad for your mental health. It's bad for your perception of the world.
Yes.
And now we're supercharging this with AI. So obviously there is a business side to this decision, but are the moral and ethical considerations at play here?
Well, it feels very voyeuristic. So the way it works is when you open up your Instagram feed, you go to start a direct message, a DM, and you tap this little blend icon. It looks like two sparkly Reels faces having a sleepover. You send an invite. Now, here's, you know, kind of moralistically speaking, you do have to opt into it. It's not like it automatically puts you blended with, you know, a work group or your family group. But once you opt into that, the feed mashes up what Instagram thinks each of you will like based on your previous activity. So in a voyeuristic way of looking at this, you can be kind of creeped out. Like, don't get into this with your boss or your manager and then realize that, oh, my gosh, all they do is spend all day watching capybaras on skateboards. You know, you want to be careful. The idea, you know, the way that Meta and Instagram sold it to me was, you know, we want it to be a place where people connect more over creativity. This is one way to do that, a fun way to share your interests and learn a little bit more about your friends' interests. That's the happy, sunshiny way of looking at this. The realistic thing is they're just really trying to throw out whatever works to get you to spend more time there.
And on top of that, what you know about yourself and what the algorithm thinks you are, that could be almost a Portrait of Dorian Gray type of situation with what the algorithm thinks about you. Do you really want other people to know what you're scrolling at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Also, you know, we have this problem with, if anyone who's watched that show out of the UK, Adolescence, there is a problem with going down these manospheres, the conspiracy theory loopholes. This is a way to get sucked deeper, more deeply into that and the negative parts, the parts that aren't great for teens with eating disorders and things like that. On the flip side, it is a place to discover more people who are like you and who do enjoy what you enjoy. So I look at this very cautiously. That's just how I am after spending all of these years covering this kind of thing. Will I use this? Not a ton, personally. I already send cute dog videos to my friends pretty much every day. Am I interested in what a few people might be looking at? Maybe. This is not the TikTok killer that they're hoping it will be.
Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today in San Francisco. Thank you for joining us today.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A swimming pool may seem like a homeowner's dream, but it can drain your wallet and shrink the number of people who are interested in buying it should you decide to sell. We welcome in Brian Wickard, president and owner of Accudent Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Brian, thank you for joining us today. And a swimming pool is like a boat in that you're really happy when you get one, but chances are you're even happier when you're done with it.
That may be a good analogy. And let me just say there's a big difference between having a pool in the Chicago area versus, say, having a pool in Florida or Arizona. You know, when you're talking about a pool in the Midwest, first of all, they are not cheap. You know, putting in an in-ground pool is going to cost you anywhere between $100,000 and $200,000 when you're all said and done with the hardscaping and everything. And, you know, I think the real question is what you just brought up, marketability, but also what kind of value are you going to get on an appraisal after you put that pool in?
And generally, if you think by installing this pool, we'll get it back when we sell the house, does the math necessarily add up in that situation?
In the Midwest, that's a hard no. Looking at a couple of recent appraisals, I saw an adjustment. You know, what appraisers do is they say, hey, here's your pool that, or here's your house that has an in-ground pool, and here's a comparable sale that does not. They're adding only between $25,000 and $75,000 of value for that $150,000 pool that it cost you. So you're getting a fraction back. And as you pointed out in your introductory comments, you know, it's going to limit the marketability. It's going to be a strong magnet, probably for families with kids who want that amenity, but it's going to repel more people than it's going to attract.
Because when they see that pool and they imagine themselves owning a home with that pool, they're probably thinking about the maintenance bill for said pool, which could run between $3,000 and $6,000 a year.
Sure, sure. You've got the energy to heat the pool. I would think most people, you know, are running a heated pool these days. So there's the maintenance cost plus the wear and tear. I mean, things wear out on a pool. Now, that's in stark contrast to, let's say, Florida. I'm aware of somebody who literally just spent the $150,000 to put in a pool, only to list the house for sale the very next day after it was complete. That's because a pool is much more desirable in a year-round hot climate like Florida versus a limited amount of time, maybe 4 or 5 months in the Midwest.
Yeah, you just got to make sure you have that mosquito cage over your pool in Florida. That seems to be the architectural trend. So the bottom line, Brian, is if you want a pool, especially in the upper Midwest, make the right friends.
Well, and do it for you. It's like any other expensive amenity like that. If you want to have a pool and a great pool, do it. You're going to enjoy it. Don't do it because you think it's going to be a great investment.
Brian Wickard, president and owner of Accudent Mortgage in Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.